Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rock That Relationship. We are here with an episode that we're calling August 13th. As we get into it, you'll know a little bit more about what that means. But as part of our long-term series that we have right now, our whole season on past life relationships and sort of this cosmic connection between Tracy and I, exploring that a little bit. And today, I think we'll put some of those pieces together. So kind of exciting day, right?
Yes. Very exciting. And it isn't August 13th. It's the day after August 14th.
It is. And the reason we have it today is so that we could make it all the way through August 13th at 11:59 p.m. And I wasn't about to want to record at midnight with you. So this works out perfectly. We're about 8 hours from the end of August 13th recording this episode. You ready to do this?
Very particular. Yes, I am.
Well, it's funny because this morning I sent you this weird text where I got this picture of then and now of you. And it was like a weird angry picture of you, but
no, I wasn't. It was like a fake angry, and I got it yesterday, and I was like, "Oh my god, I used to be so thin. Look at that! I can't look at it anymore." But I also hated my hair in that picture. But I think you're getting it because you and I did angry faces. We might have been recording a podcast or something.
Well,
I remember
that. It says then and now, and then it had like a blank space for you to put a now. But I got it on August 13th, and it was like then and now, and that's the name of our season,
right?
And I got it on August 13th.
Oh, crazy. But I got it yesterday.
Yesterday was August 13th.
Oh, okay.
I know, right?
Got it today.
No, I got it yesterday, and then I apparently didn't do anything with it, so it reminded me that I had it in the reel. It was still sitting there. No, I got it yesterday, August 13th.
That's so weird because, yeah, I got it, and I thought, I was so much thinner.
So you were looking at that, and I was looking at, oh, my gosh, the name of it is Then and Now, just like the name of this season. And it was on August 13th. I was like, how serendipitous. And you were looking at your haircut.
And how thin I was. my hair was too long, but, it was sticking way up too high. But so why is this August 13th so significant to you?
Well, if you recall, and I double-checked on the calendar to make sure, I was totally factually accurate. On May 13th, which was 3 months earlier, you and I were hiking up to Muck, and you had a really tricky day the day before, which you could.
I got dumped by some weirdo.
Okay.
I got dumped by some weirdo. I mean, I wasn't dating her. We were just had been talking for like 12 days, and then out of nowhere, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., in 10 a.m., she liked me, 4 p.m., she just said that she wanted nothing to do with me. So it was very odd.
It was jarring. I think what hit you was it was just so jarring because at 8 a.m. she was all interested and then something happened at who knows between that time. You had no interaction with her between then. So it was very, very weird. And you were really kind of upset about it, you know, kind of out of principle, like what in the world happened?
Right. Who does this?
Who does it? What happened? A lot of unanswered questions. And we were processing on Tumamoc. And I had this overwhelming feeling that your life was about to fundamentally change. And I told you, I said, 3 months from now, your life is going to fundamentally be different. And I said, so I feel this so strongly. And so I said, mark your calendar for it. You pulled your phone out right then and you put it on your calendar. Have I ever, ever told you a message like this before?
No.
Never.
You said your life will be so different.
Yes. And I said, we're going to talk on August 13th, and we're going to look back, and you're going to say, wow, my life is completely different than it was. And I had this just feeling.
I did. I talked to the psychic that day, I think, or that day, and she told me everything that happened with that person, and it totally made sense what had happened. And I was able to put that away, right? Box, goodbye, don't want to talk to that person ever again. And she said, you're going to meet your soulmate in October or November, or it might be sooner. That's exactly how she said it. And she said, it's going to happen really, really fast. And she said, you just have to tell the universe that you're ready. And I literally said, I'm ready to meet my soulmate. And here I am, August 13th, I'm married. And my wife has three children. And I am now a step parent again for the second time in my life. And one of the children lives with us full time, and we have the other two on the weekends. And so my life has completely radically shifted. And I didn't even think about that this morning when I was talking to her, because she's like, "You used to be more social before we met." And she's like, "I want to make sure it's not me that's keeping you from being social." And I'm like, "No. It's not like weird. It's like everything has kind of changed, you know? It's just kind of everything has shifted. Everything's like different." And, you know, last night we rode up to the highest hill in our neighborhood at night on the scooter, and we were watching the lightning hit like all these peaks that I used to hike a lot. And I'm like, I don't know if it's the dogs or what, but like that had already kind of like gone away. And it's like now, maybe the universe is giving me the time to settle into this because I'm doing this remodeling. I went from a household of one with two dogs to now five people with three dogs and a hedgehog in a two-bedroom house. But I had expanded one of the bedrooms, so all three boys are in there. It's like a two-bedroom situation. And my life is totally different. I was playing, you know, hitting balls, baseballs last weekend. You know, I still play pickleball. I got to play pickleball 2.5 hours on Sunday. I'm still working at the club. I love my job more than I ever liked any other job I've had since the hotel in Wyoming and the police department. And
But your job fundamentally changed from August 13th,
fundamentally,
from May 13th to August 13th. So
oh yeah.
how is that different?
Well, then I was litigating still, and it was being phased out, right? That was the whole thing with the firm. But it was still like half litigation and half consultations, or maybe not even that ratio. And now my final two litigation cases have been wrapped up, and all I do are consultations. So I take the consult, I get my AI notes, you know, the notes come from Zoom, and then that's it. I put the notes in. If I get it, I get an email with my notes and my video. I send it to the attorney if they hire that attorney, and I'm done. And like that's what I wanted. Like I wanted to make my life simpler.
Well, and less emotionally taxing because I know the litigating was killing you. It was just so much
Yeah,
energy, bad energy, and paperwork, and I mean the whole thing.
so much bad energy, and I thought that like my head was going to explode. And I've said this, but you know that feeling where your neck is like all your veins are distended, and you're like you feel like the pressure is like going to pop your head off because like living in that state of stress and cortisol. You know, I was actually just talking about that this morning when I went to Thailand in September of last year. I was really chubby. I don't know if you remember that, but even when I went back in April, my friend there said, "Oh my God, Tracy, you look so much better than you did last time you were here." And part of that was I was letting go of the job because while I was on that trip is when I wrote the resignation letter. But like I thought I was actually going to have a heart attack at one point, like really a heart attack. And I'm a hardcore vegan. I'm super healthy, all that. But I literally felt like my head was going to explode and I was going to have a heart attack. And I don't have any of those feelings now.
No, and
I
you
did the
enjoy
other
your job.
day because I thought my client wasn't going to resolve something, but she did. And it made my life so much easier, you know? So, yeah, everything has changed. You were right.
I know all the circumstances around your life have changed. How have you changed as a person, though?
I haven't.
No,
I
but it.
just, I manifested better situations for me.
Okay.
I've changed as a person in the last 5 years. I've changed since my previous marriage where, you know, I wasn't who I am now. I'm a much, much, much calmer, less reactive, more thoughtful person than I used to be. I'm also way into menopause, like 5 years. And so I don't react like I used to. You know, when you're in perimenopause, you react so differently if you're not taking hormones, you know, or birth control pills to like regulate your moods. So before I was like, rawr, 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 getting riled up about everything. Everything would rile me up. And so, you know, I am in a marriage that's like I'm actually able to be calm and I don't know, like my wife feels very secure, very happy, very people didn't have that feeling with me before. But that's not from May 13th. That's, you know what I mean? But I also, like, as soon as I met her, I knew. I
Yeah.
knew. I mean, I knew I wanted to be with her. And then when we actually, which was like 4 days later, got together, and we made a conscious decision to embark on a relationship, I knew that that was it. And so I think, like, I don't know that I've changed, but I'm trusting more my feelings. Not my feelings, my knowings. We talked about this
Yep.
in another podcast episode, my knowings. Like, I just know stuff. And I knew it. I knew it when I got with her. I knew it. I knew this is it. You know?
Yeah. And your whole life is completely different.
Completely.
Yes.
Do
Well,
you see it as different? I mean,
as your life is
you didn't,
different? Yeah, of course
yeah,
I do.
well,
I
you
mean,
didn't know me. You didn't know me as you didn't know me as a married person before, because you and I met after I got separated. You met before my divorce, or you met me right before the divorce was filed. And at that point, when I knew you, I only had access to the kids for like 4 more months. So you didn't really, I was when I met you seeing the kids 5 days a week, but it was just kind of evenings, you know, driving them back and forth between their activities. But you didn't know me like in a relationship. So this is, I think, very different for you.
I mean,
I seem less accessible.
you're less accessible, that's for sure. You're less accessible. And for you and I, who talk several times throughout the day to tell each other we tied our shoes or that a cricket was on the window, like it is, it's different. And it's yeah, especially because I've been more accessible than ever before. Well, without minus the traveling, but I've been more accessible, particularly because I've been off for the summer and I don't have a lot of competing work things. So like I can talk during the workday a lot more
Well,
freely
and
and
your daughter has gone on to do her things,
I know, and
and
I'm
your cat
single,
isn't
and
here.
yeah,
I know, and you're
so
single, but you're going through what I went through the last couple of years. I mean, yes, I had these rando girlfriends, but they didn't last very long. And you didn't, like, I was going through that while you were in a stable relationship. So we're like flip-flopped again.
yeah,
But you're
I'm
following me because I know
yeah.
you're about to get into a secure relationship.
Well, I know you feel it deep in your
I
bones,
see it, yeah.
and you keep telling me that. Well, I mean, it's interesting because when we've talked to all these different like intuitive people, particularly this season, but just in general, you know, the idea that you and I learn things or experience things in tandem, even if they show up very, very differently, right?
Or
So,
like months off.
yeah, but I mean, in this case, I've also gone through a lot of transition since May 13th, like more so than I normally would have, and it's been interesting because some of it's physical circumstances like yours, like, you know, I mean, I was already broken up, so that's not a thing. But, you know, my daughter's left for Germany and that was different. My car finally broke down. I mean, people have been bugging me for years to get a new car. I got a new car, which is sort of a changing of the guard. It was like a new chapter.
Yeah, because you had these awful, I mean, you love them, but they're like these cars that were so uncomfortable to sit in and old, and like
Well,
not old in
I
like a
kept
cool
one.
way,
I know. I
you
still have
know?
one, but
Yeah, for
I did.
your daughter, good. She doesn't need a brand new car, but now you have a brand new car that's
I
actually
know.
looks nice, that actually it's nice to go in. It's nice to see you in it. And it actually has like what are called modern conveniences that make your life easier. And I don't
I
have to
know.
listen to your headphones crackle, crackle, crackle against your jacket while you're driving. And you have like 12 cords coming out of, you know, the cigarette lighter. You know?
I know. And yeah,
Right?
it's all good. And now I have a car that's reliable because both cars are breaking down this summer and I hadn't really had a lot of mechanical issues with either. I just had a really kind of tricky summer trying to, I guess we would call it like kind of a cleansing summer. I went to Iceland. I called it my healing moon because everybody was on their honeymoons. I called it my healing moon. But I feel like the whole summer was my healing moon. I sort of just recalibrated and figured out where my values were, my priorities were, where my investments needed to be, both monetary and personal. I kind of, you know, I reached out. Remember I got on Bumble BFF. I made a whole bunch of like really cool new friends and I went to Iceland. I made some cool new friends and I've just been doing, I joined a softball league. You know, so
That's where I feel like me being busier allowed you to have that space, which is what you needed, because I was trying to move us away from a particular group of people anyway, and I already had exited kind of emotionally, and I was trying to, like, steer you that way. And so this actually, because of the series of events, got you to, like, branch out, which is weird because you're already a person who's really out there.
Right, I know. Everybody's like, you already have, like, 500 friends. Why did you join Bumble BFF and, like, want more? I'm like, because I just love people. And so, but I'm filling my bucket with people who are sort of are reciprocating, right? And they're showing up in, like, really good and healthy ways and filling my bucket. And I'm enjoying that. So I'm feeling this sense of cleanse. And then yesterday, it just serendipitously was on August 13th, I saw a shaman. And I was supposed to see the shaman a few weeks ago, but ended up in a situation with a friend where we were taking a little bit longer hiking because of the heat and a few things going on. And so I ended up having to reschedule that appointment. And at first I was like, oh, bummer. But then I thought, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I met with the shaman yesterday and she cleared a ton of negative energy and redirected some stuff and has affirmed that I'm moving in the right direction and the right path. And she's a healer. And I was like, wow, I just feel like spiritually, I feel so much more fulfilled. I feel like I had to go through that horribly turbulent emotional and spiritual experience this summer where everything kept manifesting. It was like manifesting the wrong way, right? Like, but it wasn't really, because the car breaking down was me manifesting having a reliable vehicle, and I ended up with that. So it just was sort of a bumpy road to get my manifest, but I'm feeling like I'm coming out the other side. And Mercury is no longer in retrograde, which is great. And for Virgos in particular, we were hit really hard with a Mercury retrograde this year is what I heard. So things are supposed to get much more normal and calm for us starting this week, actually.
Good. Well, I need it. In fact, didn't I say that to you? That's what I need?
Yeah, calm. We both talked about peace, wanting peace.
Right.
Yeah, the shaman used that word yesterday with me. She's like, you know, it's like about peace and finding peace. And so that's where I feel like I'm different. But gosh, how many times did I call you crying this summer?
I mean, a lot. Well, you made us go, okay, let's talk about our trip to, LA.
Yes, which was in end of May.
Was it? Weekend was it? Was it Memorial? No.
No, it was the one right after Memorial Day, I think. It was May.
You needed these cleansing things, right? So, okay, number one, the shaman you did over the phone or Zoom?
Zoom, yeah.
Okay. So did you walk her around your house or did you just sit there?
No, I sat there and she kind of did her own like self-perception where she closed her eyes and she just felt the energy that was coming through me from the house into her.
Well, you should put that. People should know. People should be able to contact her.
You need to reach out. She was absolutely amazing. And she is intuitive. So she was telling me things that there's no way she could have otherwise known about what energy was in the house, why it was there. I mean, like, I knew as soon as she said things, I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Had that experience also with one of our recent podcast guests, Marv.
Yeah.
He knew, like, it was so interesting. Like, he got our dynamic so right.
I know. And even when we met with the astrologer, Susan, and she had talked to you about being kind of one of the earth, like some of these people are just picking up on things that we keep. It's like recurring themes. So with the shaman, I was like, yeah, I mean, not only did she have kind of recurring themes to validate her, but then she pointed something out, which was very, very interesting to me, just about kind of karmic partners and my soul contracts and things I hadn't thought about before that were really unique and put things in perspective for me. And no way she could have known certain things. So even for those people out there that don't believe in this stuff and it's the placebo effect, it made me feel better. And that's the whole point. But I really do believe it. Cool. I do believe about the energy because I literally, when she was doing a clearing of me, Tracy, it was the weirdest thing. My body started feeling warm. Like it started to heat up as she was doing the clearing. And then as soon as she was done, I just was warm. Like, it's like she took all the cold negative, like energy out of my body and it left me with only warmth. I physically felt that as she was doing the clearing.
Wow.
Yeah.
But she also, that's the thing, she did some cord cuttings, and I had cord cutting done for me that I didn't even know was done years ago by our psychic, our shared psychic. She told me after the fact, because I said, oh my gosh, this person has just basically disappeared. And she's like, I told you. And the other person said, I told you that would happen if you stop, you know, feeding the narcissistic behavior. But the psychic actually said that she cut the cord between me and that person. And I felt like, I didn't know that that had happened, that she had done that, but I literally felt like that person just, boop, gone.
Yep.
Disappeared. Like cutting a balloon string. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Like, never have I had any interaction with that person again. Like, there was so much intense interaction for months and months and months, and then, boop, nothing.
And then gone.
You know, Bethany told me it's because I put up boundaries, which I did,
right.
But the psychic said she cut the cord, and I do feel like there was some very, like something happened behind the scenes, you know?
Right, like energetically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it all just dissipated, just gone.
I agree. You know, it was interesting. We had done, you and I, when we recorded our episode about, and we did our own little cord cutting, we did a pretty effective job at it, because yesterday when I did that with the shaman, she was like, that particular cord was
right.
very, very weak. So,
it's
I don't
just
know.
So interesting, though, because we did that cord cutting, and then one of those people actually reached out to me. I handled, because people reach out to me for legal stuff, and I handled it, and there was no further, like, I don't care to be invited to your things. I don't want to be a part of the group dynamic anymore. So for me, it's like taking myself out. And it is interesting because while you've gone through this period, which I really believe, and I did say this to you, that I really felt you needed to spend some time by yourself in order for you to then move on to the next phase, you know, which
Mm-hmm.
I know what your next phase is already. And I've been wanting you to go that way. And I really felt like we had to have a little bit of less time together, because you needed to not be like so with, because you tend to like hang out with particular people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very strongly that you needed different people, right?
Yeah. And I
and it,
did. I got different
yeah.
people. And I didn't always hang out with people. I spent a lot of time alone. Like, it ended up being that Iceland trip for like the first 5 days, I was completely by myself. Which, you know, I mean, I travel a ton alone, so it's not a thing, but I don't normally vacation for 5 days by myself. And I'm not opposed to it. I just haven't done it. And it was absolutely exactly what I needed, you know, and to be in that space. And I've spent a lot of time by myself this summer.
Which is actually really good for you. I think that that's, you've done it now. Like, I think you were afraid of doing that before. You always told me, I'm not desperate, I'm not this, but there was like a fear to you to being alone.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is worked out. That's what I wanted to see change. I never said this to you, but I wanted to see that you want to be with somebody and be hanging out with somebody, not because you feel that you need it or that you don't want to be alone, but because that time with that person is so great. So
yeah.
I had this discussion with you this morning about being upset about that picture that I was way thinner. And I know, I mean, I'm not really heavy. If someone looked at me, they wouldn't think that. But for myself, like, I feel this way. And so does my wife. And you know how when you're like moving and you're doing all this stuff and having transition, you're not working out as much or going hiking. And we talked about that this morning. And I said, but I'd rather be a little bit chubby and have that time that I find so valuable now is just to hang out with her in the morning, you know,
mm-hmm.
not to rush and run off, even though I love hiking and I love all that. But like, you know, it's life. You have to make these choices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What am I going to get out of this? And like, I cannot, do you remember I used to go to Planet Fitness every morning at 4:30? You reminded me of that this morning, but it was agitating. Also, Earl was there. I hate it. Ugh,
I
Earl, I
remember
can't,
that.
you know, like, There was so much there that I didn't like. If I could have the gym in my house, which I do have a bunch of gym equipment, I'm going to think about that. It's like, how do I want to spend my time? And I guess as I age, I'm going to be 55 this month. I don't care. Like, I want to spend the time the way I want to spend it. Yeah, okay, sure, I need to get fit, but Okay, I play pickleball. Like, isn't that good for aging? I can do some push-ups at home. Like, do I need to subject myself to the early morning crowd at Planet Fitness? And just, I don't know, something about going there other than using the hydro bed just bugs me. I don't like it. I don't like doing it. I love going to play pickleball, you know?
Yeah, then do
So
more
I have
of
to make
that.
choices. And I'd rather my dogs have a longer walk, you know?
Yeah.
So I think you just have to make, you have to decide. You had to, but your thing was different. Yours was more like, I don't know, there was something else there.
What do you mean?
Like, I think you needed to be, I feel like you had to have some months alone. What I felt was in order for you to move forward to be in a long-term, really satisfying, healthy, like fulfilling relationship that you have wanted, that I've wanted for you, that I've wanted for myself, that now I feel that I have found for myself, you had to have that time alone first. Because I don't feel that you could have gone into this if you hadn't just been with yourself. And I have spent that time by myself for, you know, while you were in a relationship, evenings and evenings and all that, just with myself. And I got to that point where I loved myself and my life and was so happy. You know?
Yeah. Well, and
And
it,
you.
yeah, I mean, it's, well, as, and as you're talking, it's like, you know, there was so much more to the, to my 3 months this summer that was even beyond the just like healing from my breakup and like getting ready to move on to another like dating scenario. There was like a lot of like spiritual reconciliation with lots of things. There were people I was, you know, making amends with and other people I was cutting ties with and other things that I was just sort of cleansing my spiritual plane and having to do that in ways that had nothing to do with the breakup. But I think that being by myself and not partnered allowed me to like do that work that maybe I had been preoccupied. I mean, some of it didn't come to fruition until this summer. It all kind of hit, but
Yeah,
like
because you
everything.
were preoccupied and you were feeling this need to be with someone.
Yes, but I think that that crowded out some of the other healing that I needed to do that had nothing to do with like romance, right? Like, you know, still kind of reconciling my mom's death, trying to, you know, figure out, do I want a pet? Trying to figure out, you know, like I've been toying around with joining the softball league for like 2 years, and I finally was like, I really just want to do this. Like coming to terms with what I want, who I want to spend time with, where I want to go. I decided to plan a trip to go to Romania in October, and I'm going to hike the Transylvanian Alps, and I hired a private guide because I'm like, there's no group that's going when I'm there, and I'm like, I just want to go. And then, you know, I was talking with one of our friends yesterday, and I said, you should come, and it just so happens to be fall break. Her kids are have coverage. She's like, I'm totally going. So we're making it happen. And it was like, I'm just sort of like recalibrating and thinking about what is like, what do I want out of this life? I remember I jumped on the project I was going to do called 50 First Hikes, which was an awesome project to like get back out dating when I was ready. And I designed this whole project and it wasn't, I didn't execute the project as imagined, but what it did is it threw me into this whole idea about what is it that I'm really looking for in a partnership. And I mean, it was just a lot of sort of soul searching that happened. And it, again, like, about half of it had absolutely nothing to do with like romance or like trying to find a partner. It was just
Yeah,
about,
but you did have to get over some of that. That's why
I
I brought
did.
up LA, and then for some reason I probably lost my train of thought. But your hike thing was your 51st hikes. We went to LA to go to the West Hollywood Pride, and when we got there, I'm like, this is obviously not our crowd. But we had to drive, what, 7.5 hours there and 7.5 hours back at a minimum. And that actually gave us the time to write up the podcast season and do these other things. But when we were there in West Hollywood, we had some really good talks that needed to happen for you to, like, because I'm like, what is it? What is it that is bugging you? Like, get to the bottom of it. Like, because you were not resolved. And I really feel like that walk after we went to the Italian restaurant back to our hostel was like key to moving you forward, because there was something stuck there. And it, like, I don't know, it had to come out of a, like, we weren't arguing, but I was just like, what is it? You know, like pushing you.
And then
pushing
I burst
you.
into tears and
Yeah.
I talked through it and figured it
Right.
out that, you know, whether my exes who might be listening believe this or not, I just felt like in my past relationships, I've given a lot more emotional, like done emotional labor and given a lot more love than I've received. And
Right.
whether that's true in their mind doesn't matter to me. What's true in my mind is that it matters to me. That's my perception,
Right.
and I'm feeling exhausted from it.
Right.
And it's not just with, it wasn't just in romance. It was like friendships
Right.
too. We talked about that. Why do I continue to give more? Like, it's not just about me as the one to pick up
Right.
the phone and say, let's hang out. It's the emotional labor of friendships. It's the emotional labor of a lot of things, of work projects. And I'm like, why do I show up and other people don't show up back for me? And it was like, that's where the cleansing started, Tracy. That's where it was like, okay, who am I surrounding myself with? And I was looking at this notion of reciprocity, right? And I could start to clean house a little bit and say, okay, it's okay if something isn't reciprocal. I don't need it right now. And that's okay too. Like, you don't have to hold on to something just because it was once there.
See, that was the purpose of that trip. You thought it was for your 51st hike, but it turned out to be because you had something that only someone who could know you well could get to the bottom of, and we had to have that time of isolation, really, of us being in the car, you know, even though I was talking to Sarah a lot.
Even though you texted her every 15 minutes, you were either texting or calling with her. And then the one time that you do let the call go to voicemail after I gave you the death stare, there was actually a rattlesnake on your front
porch. Yeah, exactly. And then I was like, oh my God.
It's like the boy who cried wolf. I'm like, if she wouldn't have called you 400 times before, you would have been like, oh my gosh, I've got to get this call. But
we did have a discussion of that also. It's like, what are our expectations? That led to a whole nother topic of conversation about what are our expectations for spending time with other people, right? And I told you, like, we had different expectations always. And I think that's the thing about, it's the same thing about life. If you're going to be by yourself, if you're going to manifest what you want, if you're going to be with friends or whatever, you need to say, set your intention? What's my intention for this? What's my intention for this trip? How am I going to be in this? You and I had different ideas, and I'm a person who's never disconnected. I have my phone on me 24/7, and I always will. And that was it. That brought up an interesting conversation between us. But that was on the way
home.
So that was a whole other thing that I think was really important for us to talk about. And like all this of having like everything that happened, those conversations that we had in LA really moved you forward.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, it set the tone for this idea of my spiritual and emotional cleansing, which I feel like.
And you're so different now than you were when we left for that trip. Not because I feel like that. Yeah, you're like, your energy is different. You're different. Like, there was like there's either so much, it wasn't anger, it was like angst or upset or something, like a lot of it.
Yep.
That is not present, maybe weighing you down or making you like a certain way that I felt like that had to be cleared out.
Yeah.
So it did get cleared out. That trip was the beginning of it.
It was. And then there were a bunch of hiccups that happened between that trip and other things, just like really big, what I thought at the time might be setbacks, but were really push forwards. And then got me to the place of the cleansing yesterday. I mean, the work is never done, but I really feel like I'm over the hurdle. And like, I went out, you know, with our friend Jill last night, who said something very similar. She's like, you've made it through the hard stuff. Like, you have, she said, I think she said her words were, you've come out the other side. And so I feel like it, because remember I was telling you, I've been manifesting peace, and I feel more at peace than I've felt in a really long time. It feels really nice. And I know for you, you feel, you know, kind of more like assured and secure, and like you know you're where you're supposed to be.
Right.
And you're exactly there.
Yeah. I feel that I have gotten to where I want to be, to have the things that I want. Like I had that discussion with her this morning. Like, this is what I want. This is where I want to be. This is everything that I want. And like, I don't feel that I'm lacking for anything. And yet we can build on these things. Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You're about to be there.
Well, I'm already there in so many spiritual ways. I feel really, really at peace. And so that's why I'm also not rushing anything.
Right.
Like, have you noticed I'm not rushing anything?
Right, I have.
I'm pretty impressive because my book was all about rushing, rushing, rushing.
But isn't that interesting that Marv, was it Marv or was it somebody else said you were like the boss in the military?
And
Who
that I've
said
been
that?
achievement, it was Marv, and that I've been achievement oriented for many lives. And then Susan said the same thing. I've been achievement oriented in many lives.
But that whole thing about the general versus the Zen master, right?
Yep.
Like,
yeah, it's like, it's part of me. It's like ingrained in me to want to just like take charge and move ahead. And that's my
right.
happy place, my comfort place, I guess.
Which works in career stuff, but maybe not in relationship stuff. And
No.
that, you know, in relationship stuff, you do have to take the time to heal. And relationship, that includes relationship with a person who's passed away, all that, right? Like,
yeah.
it's not just romantic relationships, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's like the idea of professionally moving forward and achieving. There is emotion tied to it, but it's definitely not like relational, right? Where there's,
right.
You know, you can't just be like, I mean, I'm not the kind of person who can like get out of a relationship and immediately move forward to another one or have a friendship come to an end and then like, oh, this person's my new best friend. I mean, I wasn't like that even in middle school kind of stuff, but yeah. So I'm just taking it. I'm taking it much more in a peaceful way. And I'm also letting things just unfold. Like if, you know, I mean, I was planning on going to Romania anyways, and then I just had mentioned it to our friend, and then she was like, that's awesome. And then I was like, you should come. Like, it just felt natural. And then this
right.
morning we were joking about, I said, she goes, everything has been so easy. She goes, like, transitioning to come on this trip. She's like, boom, boom, boom. And I said, I know. I said, within 24 hours, we've, like, made this happen. And I said, easy peasy meant to be easy, right?
That's right. Thanks,
Yeah.
Fire Lady. What
Right.
is she from? Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy peasy meant to be easy.
Exactly. And so I'm going to stop banging my head up against the wall. Something feels like too hard, then it's just I'm going down the wrong path. Right?
Right. And that's the thing that I think that's also for my life. If it's not easy, if it's hard, if there's complications, then it's not meant to be.
Right.
But you have to also, there's a lot of learning in that as well. So it's not like we should discount those things or not have those experiences, right? But I think the feeling of when you've gotten to where you want to be, you know it.
Right,
and
right.
like there's been no doubt for me in this relationship, my marriage since day one, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, and there's a difference
and
too between easy peasy meant to be easy and working through challenging situations. Like that easy peasy is this idea that like spiritually and emotionally it's easy, you know, but there's things that are hard. Like you can't just go out and run a marathon. If you really want to run a marathon, you have to train for it. It's hard, but the decision to run the marathon shouldn't be hard, right? The training should be. So like your marriage, knowing that you want to be in your marriage and that this is the person you want to spend your life with, that's easy. Are there complications as you're building like the addition on your house and recalibrating and moving in? Of course there are, because that's the here and now earthbound life. And we are going to have those things. But if spiritually things are difficult or emotionally, like those are difficult and you're up against a wall and it just, or even circumstantially, things just keep falling through over and over and over and over it, then you have to check yourself and say, okay, is this the right path for me? And maybe it is, but for me, I've never found that to be the case. I found that if I push, 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 it's not about persistence and resilience, because I think those are different. But push,
right.
push, push, like spiritually, I feel like then I'm messing with the universe. But
Right.
I mean, some things just should be hard, right? Like going through and this whole summer has been really, really difficult in a lot of ways. And it should be hard but does it mean it was the wrong path? No, it was the right path. It's just that it needed to happen.
Right. Yeah, it needed to happen.
Yeah. So we're
persistence and resilience.
Right.
But, well, I think you have learned also, I have learned as well, but not everything is worth the effort that you and I are willing to put into it.
Yeah.
I think we're both better boundaried about walking away.
That is true. That is one thing I think you and I both learned over the last 4 years. you know, not necessarily with each other per se, boundary, but like we've learned boundary to being boundary at the same time with other people that have really encroached on some boundaries
Right.
and said, I'm not doing it. Like even professionally, I've become even a little bit more boundaried, but no,
Right.
thank you. Like, no, it's not worth the effort. And it's not worth the heartache, I think, for me. It's like not even just the amount of energy you put into something. It's just not worth the heartache. Like, is this worth saving, right?
Right.
My, for instance, I had a real strong attachment to my car that broke down. Now, I could have gone to salvage yards to try to find a pulley for this belt that needed to be repaired, but there's nobody makes the pulley anymore. Could I have
Right.
gone to salvage yards? Yes, I love this car. I had an actual emotional attachment to this car. I got it in 2015. It was the car I drove up to Dayton when I first got my job at Wright State. That was my Dayton car for years. It was, I had an emotional attachment to it. It was the car that I taught my daughter how to drive on. It was the car she first drove to school. I mean, this had a lot of emotion wrapped up in it to me. And so getting rid of that car was really, you know, it was a heartache. But at the same time, it was like keeping it was even more of a heartache because it kept letting me down. It wasn't reliable. I didn't know where I was going to find parts. I didn't want my daughter driving in it and having something happen. And so what started as something that filled me up, filled my bucket, it stopped filling my bucket. Right. And I had to be okay
Right.
with letting that car go, even though I had memories attached to it. I had history with it. And when you think about that same metaphor with people, right? Like thinking about
Right.
somebody, something could have met your needs for a certain period of time. And it just isn't worth it anymore because you can't rely on it and you can't,
Yeah.
you know, it's just not in your life anymore. And it's not that you need to get rid of the old and replace the new, but sometimes things just don't serve you the way that they did before and you need to walk away. And I did.
Yes.
I did, and I sold that car to CarMax for $600. I was so sad. I was like, can you just give me $100 more? They're like, no, we can't. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just got new tires. But then I let it go, and guess what? I haven't really thought about it.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what happened? I had the painters come to my house, so they did my whole house when I moved into it 4 years ago, and I had a Forester, Subaru Forester. It had like 156,000 miles. It was starting to have issues. And I just didn't want to deal with it. And it was a bigger car than I wanted or needed. And I ended up selling it to one of the painters for $4,000 cash. And I remember meeting him at the Honda dealership and I got myself this spicy little red Honda Fit, which for me I love. And I was like, woo, I'm getting rid of that ugly white Subaru and I'm getting this cute little red car, this sporty little car. And they came this week to finish the bedroom addition. And he drove that car here, and before he came, I was talking to the other painter who's the boss, and I'm like, oh God, I bet Danny hates me because he bought that piece of junk for me. He's like, no, he loves that car. He's put 150 something thousand miles on it. So when he showed up, he was like, I love this car. I've doubled the miles. And I went to move it because it was in my way, and I thought, oh, maybe he left the keys in it. And I opened the door. I'm like, oh my God. It was like filled with paint stuff, fishing stuff. Bowls, bongs, whatever you call those things, bowls. Like, I was like, oh my God, this car looks nothing like when I had it. And, but it's like served him so well.
Yeah.
And, you know, he, like, that was my hunk of junk that wasn't working for me. And now it's his dream. He loves that car.
That's so funny. Did you have any memories of it? Were you like, have any nostalgia or was it so?
No, I was so glad to be done with it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that I sold it. And like, that's the thing is he got enjoyment out of it. He loves that car.
Yeah.
I looked at it and I thought, oh, it's ugly. It's bulky. And then I opened the inside. I'm like, wow. And then I get my cute little red car and I'm like, wow, you know, right? Like sometimes it's just, we have to let things go. I drove that thing all over the country and took my dogs in it who aren't even alive anymore, you know, and no, nothing. I felt zero, nothing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Letting it go. I mean, and that's really the key. This Chapman said to me yesterday, she goes, as you let go of people in particular, as you let go of people in your life, you make room for other people to come in who are a better fit for where you are right now. And she says, not that you want to like, you know, terminate things just because they're not, quote, serving you per se. But she's like, you'll know when the time wraps up and when to move on. And it's kind of like the car. You'll know when it's time. And maybe that will bring someone else joy. But, you know, but understanding that it's, if you don't have the vacancies, it's hard to bring in new energy. So like until I would sell a car or would be willing to sell a car, I wouldn't be able to go get a new one. And so like, you know, again, it's not, it sounds kind of callous, like replace the old with the new, but it's not that. It's about just knowing when something has run its course with you, and it might not have run its course with someone else. Like, as you said, with the car, with someone else, right? It's just, it's run its course in your life. And it's likely that if it's with people, both people probably feel it. Both people probably know it. And it's okay to part ways. It's okay to let go of things. It's okay. Like this summer, I was like on my basketball team, but I missed every game this summer because I was traveling on a Sunday. And at first I was feeling really bad. And then I just told them I couldn't make any of the games. And so, but I was like, I need to let it go. I like, I can't play this summer, and that's okay. Like it's not, I'm not supposed to play this summer. I'm supposed to do other things. And guess what? Our basketball season, our fall and starting back up, but it's on Sundays. I can start playing again. But it was like, I had to be okay with letting, just letting that go for a little bit. And in this case, it's coming back, but sometimes you just, it's not where I need to be right now.
Well, yeah. And some things they're cyclical, and you know, I think that's the thing. It's like you can't have everything all the time, and you have to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't have to persist in trying to make something work when it's just not going to.
Yes, exactly. Like, I mean, you hit the breaking point with your job. That's
right,
when you wrote the resignation letter. You said, I cannot make this work. Yes, you could have physically continued to show up at that job, but it was killing you on the inside. So you couldn't, and sometimes we just have to say, we have to let it go. And that's a hard pill to swallow. And I did a lot of letting go this summer. So like I said, so circumstantially things look different a little bit. Like, you know, I don't have a partner living here, and I don't have a kid living here, and I have a new car, and I, you know, did some traveling and stuff, but, and I'm on a softball team. But other than that, like spiritually, it's where I've like learned to let go and just say, okay, this, not even just let go of like people or circumstances, but let go of the feelings that are associated with the things that are hurtful. So like, you know, I've experienced, as is everybody, experienced hurtful moments. And I was clinging on really, really tight. And then I was reading Mel Robbins' book, you know, The Let Them Theory. And it was like, you know, let them do what they need to do. Let you do what you need to do, like the let me part of it. But the part that I really liked was that we have to also let go. I'm making myself upset about this. Yeah, did somebody do something awful? Perhaps, yes. But I'm holding on to the upsetness, and it's not doing any good for me. So I just, I have to work through that. So my whole kind of active manifest is peace, right? Just like learning how to let go of my expectations of people, let go of the fact that other people are going to hurt me, either intentionally or not, and just work through it much faster, because it's very heavy to carry those feelings.
Yeah, well, and I do think that transcends lives, as we've learned. I think between all the weird stuff that's happened since we met, and then what these intuitives / psychics / astrologers have told us about what's happened with us, and then with people that we've actually met here, right? That we need to let a lot go and to resolve stuff and move on. And it's really happened in these lifetimes that we've had.
Right.
It has transcended. I mean, really, I've resolved so much now, and it's only since meeting you. So we had to meet. Maybe we had to do a bunch of stuff prior to meeting. We wouldn't meet until later in life, or is this the beginning of my life? You know, maybe this is the beginning. The way I want to look at it is, you know, I want 50 plus years of marriage, and so I feel like I'm in my 20s and I'm starting my whole life again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a different person than I was the last 30 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so you get to start your life over, maybe, you know, in the same physical body, but spiritually and mentally and emotionally, you get to start over, start fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah, a new life. And for me, it's like the same life, but new chapter, like totally different, you know?
Yeah, but all these things, we both had all these intuitive things, psychic things, whatever, that we felt when we were kids and that we put aside for many years. And then I do believe both of our lives really started to change for the better when we met. We were meant to meet. We were meant to go on this journey. And I feel like we're just at the beginning of it.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, and over the last 4 years has been for both of us tumultuous in various ways, where you and I have had to work out a lot of, I think, karmic crap with other people. We've had to, like, but we've been there at the same time doing it next to each other, which I think is part of what our pact has always been, is to just know that we were going to go through this period of real, real transition, and that, like, let's just let's do it next to each other and help each other through it. And the stuff wasn't necessarily between you and I. We haven't had a lot of that. It's mostly that we're just doing our own work next to each other.
But we can just saw it.
Yeah.
We are going to do Machu Picchu with our partners.
Okay.
With our spouses.
You'll go back to Machu Picchu?
Of course. I just told Sarah that this morning that I want to do Machu Picchu with her.
That's so funny because
I want to go to Cusco.
I was talking about Machu Picchu this summer. I want to go and do it. And
yeah, but I want it to be the four of us.
Okay, fill in the blank. Yes, for me.
Yes, I know. I know who it is. And Cusco is like super vegan friendly, and these beautiful vegan restaurants that are like, I mean, incredible. So
yes,
we will fulfill that because we're entering. It'll be the entering of a new era of like peace and stability for us, and satisfaction. Like security and satisfaction.
Yes, I would agree. Well, and we always knew that we wanted to do Machu Picchu we always had an idea for Machu Picchu, and the original plan of it with certain people that were our friends kind of fell through, and then we were going to do it with someone you were dating, and then our other friend, and that kind of fell through, and then it ended up that I didn't go, and then you went, and you needed to go, and I think you went you ended up needing to go for totally different reasons than doing Machu Picchu. I think you had a calling to the person you were rooming with to help her in her life, but I think we've never fulfilled that pact of going to Machu Picchu in the way that we both imagined.
Well, we're going to go.
Okay.
And you're going to do all the accommodations like you did last time. And find,
I'll book
and find a company that doesn't use animals and can make vegan food. I mean, we could go back. I don't know if Alejandro's still there, but like that was the thing. It's like you made that all perfect, right? The company did vegan meal. I mean, I had such incredible vegan meals. At one point, I was like, stop the food. Like, get it away from me. I've had enough. I can't eat. But like, they made all these meals and carried them, and we did not use pack animals, which was awesome because I don't believe in that. And, you know, it was great. And I can show you Cusco. Cusco itself is just incredible. I love Cusco.
Oh, my gosh. I totally want to go. Well, put it on my list because, you know, I'm going everywhere. I'm going to be booking a trip to Germany in the spring to see my kiddo. And then I have a group of friends that want to all go to Hawaii in the spring. And then I'm like, I want to go to Machu Picchu. I want to do all the things, Tracy, all the things that I'm feeling called to do. And okay. Machu Picchu is one of those.
Okay, well, that's our special trip. And we'll figure that out.
Yes, and I think that's a trip to represent peace, not to seek it, which feels very different than where we've been.
Where we go when we've achieved peace.
That's what I'm saying. Like it feels like it's a reflection of getting to a peaceful place versus mm-hmm. going there to ask the universe for peace, you know, and...
No, we'll go because we have achieved it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that that's a great plan.
Yeah, it would be so fun.
Well, who knows? Who knows? We'll try to figure something out. I mean, you went in the fall, and the fall was pretty good, right?
Yeah, it was great.
So we'll look at some dates.
We'll figure it out.
Make it happen. But, you know, it's interesting when we think about what's happened over the last 3 months and how, like, intuitively I was in tune enough with you to know that your life was going to be transformed, but also as a reflection and a mirror of me, that my life is also going to be transformed, but in very different ways, in mm-hmm. very different ways, but in both of us in ways that we had been manifesting, had been wanting, had been needing, and we both had to work through a lot of stuff to get to where we are, and we're still working through it, and it's a work in progress, but a lot can happen in 3 months.
Yep.
So where do you think we'll be? What's 3 months from August 13th? August, September, October.
Well, I'm just going to be here. I might be able to. I don't know if I can manage a trip back to the elephant sanctuary, but because the school schedule is interesting. So
yeah,
I'm just going to be here having someone call me. Oh, you're a real family man now, and I'm like, yeah, I guess I am. So that's what I'm just going to be.
That's what's going to happen.
And I'm happy being that, you know?
Good. Yeah, I don't have any intuitive feelings that we're going to have, like, groundbreaking things over the next 3 months.
That's the thing. We don't need to, right?
No.
I'm very happy. I don't want anything groundbreaking to happen. I just want to – I'm really happy in my life, my personal life, and I'm really happy now in my job life.
Yeah, and you just want to be.
Yeah, I'm not interested. I'm not like constantly climbing or constantly trying to change or, you know, if I found something, I want it to be. And even that with pickleball, like these people obsessed with doing tournaments and all that. And, you know, for a little bit I contemplated. I'm like, how am I going to fit that in and do I want that? No, mm-hmm. I have no interest in that. Like,
right.
I just go to play pickleball because I like it, because that's fun. And mm-hmm. sure, I play competitively sometimes, but I don't want the life where I'm like, oh my God, I have to get to Mesa. I need to get to this tournament, or I have to fly here. No, mm-mm. I want, you know, as you know, my time to be spent either my travel time to be to Thailand or places that like actually I feel like add something to my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you've got 3 months of just enjoying life. I'm going to have 3 months of peace. Of just peace, and whether that summons in new people in my life or hopefully no more new cars, because I really like this car that I have. But
yeah, your car's
I'm going to have some adventure, but I don't foresee these next 3 months being like emotionally, mentally, or spiritually tumultuous. It's just going to be like life is just going to keep unfolding. I mean, things might be different, but I don't feel like spiritually transformative like they've been.
Right.
So.
No, I think we've gotten to that place. We don't. I mean, I feel like we can just keep enriching that.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. The spiritual thing, we could just keep adding. Like, I want to do more of that. I keep thinking I have to order Gaia TV because there's so many great things on Gaia TV.
Right.
And my wife and I are going to do this Jewish thing on Sunday nights and learn about Reform Judaism. And so, like, it's not that we have to be achieving anything. We can just be learning more, mm-hmm. you know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We don't always, everything doesn't always need to be toppled over every five minutes.
Well, right.
Yeah. I'm
good with done with that?
Let's just be done for a little while and just ride this out for a little bit and keep building on it and learning and reading and doing the classes. And I'm going to groups and, you know, and let's just do that and keep bringing in people that are really wholesome, good, quality, supportive, loving people in our circle, and I think we're going to be set.
Right.
Wow.
Good.
Well,
that's a wrap, isn't it?
It is. I mean,
season.
This is awesome. So it's been a very interesting season of all sorts of, I guess, validation, new insight, and certainly for you and I to process through lots of cool stuff. So I'm hoping our listeners enjoyed this season as much as I did. So, but until our next episode, everyone, go out there and rock those relationships.
If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.